I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. I'm going to start from here. And I don't know where I'm going to finish, but we're going to start from here. And I want to thank you for having me at this fantastic conference. That's a good feel. You're nice people. You're laughing already. That's good. I like people who laugh with me. That's good. I've been trying to establish a little bit of rapport, talking about your sporting prowess and successes. So have we got rapport now? For those of you sort of, you know, wanting to develop your preaching skills, just want you to take note how to build rapport and make a connection with a group of people. Don't mention the war. Right, okay. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. It says, drink running waters out of your own well. I've been teaching Bible school for a long time, and I'm going to show you how to completely take a scripture out of its context and use it to talk about something it was never actually intended by God that you should use to talk about whatsoever. You've heard in the New Testament of them saying, those who wrest the scripture, that's what we're about to do. Wrest the scripture, twist it right around so that it actually doesn't mean what it was originally intended to mean. This is about marital fidelity. And I just want to go on record that I'm all in favor of marital fidelity. And I have been a, how could I say, I have been a practicing, participant of marital fidelity for a very long time. Don't exactly ask me how long. My wife's not here. The pressure's off. I don't have to remember. But 30 odd years anyway. It's a long time. But that's what this passage of scripture is talking about. Drinking running waters out of your own well. Are we clear that it's talking about marital fidelity? That is the contextual understanding of this scripture. Right? Now forget that. Forget it altogether. Because I'm not going to mention marital fidelity again. Though I must say once again, I'm all in favor of it. Not just the theory, the practice. Not just legalistically, but, you know, a grace-enjoying thing. But I just want to leave it alone now, right? I want to go away from that. That's the scripture. No, right, forget all about that. Let's go to John chapter 4. Listen, when you've been teaching Bible school for as long as I have, you can do what you like. Well, not really. But I'm in New Zealand. Don't mention the war. Okay. John chapter 4. And you're going to wonder, what on earth does this have to do with Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15? And if I'm real lucky, I'll be able to connect the two together. But then again, sometimes it works and sometimes it just doesn't work at all. But that's okay. If it doesn't work, I'll get a bar of chocolate. If it does work, I might get that rotten thing down there. So what? The incentive around here is stuff up, man. You get a better price. Never mind. I'm talking about me. John chapter 4. I better get on with this. And the more I talk around, the more trouble I get in. My wife says, you'll get into trouble. The more you talk like this, the more trouble you get into. Okay, you with me? You got it now? John chapter 4, I've been waiting for you. You all got it? Yes. You got your Bible open? Yes. You're not going to go on memory now, are you? Because this won't work. It's John chapter 4. Okay, what verse did I say? Okay. Verse 11. Sir, the woman said, you have... Oh, no, hang on. Verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That was the NIV, because it's the small one that fits in my bag when I'm traveling. The King James says this: the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Shall be in him a well of water. It will be, not it can, it will be, not it might, it must be, it will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The New King James says, it will become in him as a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. A fountain of water. The Amplified says, it will be flowing, bubbling continually within him. Flowing and bubbling continually within him. I said flowing and bubbling continually within him. The Living Bible says that it will be a perpetual spring. Ooh. Ooh, it's getting better. It will be a perpetual spring. Jesus said, you have a well. Do you know that? Jesus said, you have a well. Now, if you just take a little while to go through the scripture and look at the well in scripture, you'll find that the well obviously is a source of water, but it is also used metaphorically as a resource of refreshing and enjoyment and life. If you go through the Old Testament, you'll find that wells are important and significant places in Scripture. They are the centers of community. They are gathering places. They are places of revelation. Hagar received the revelation of God who sees all when she was at a well. It's a place of commitment. It's a place of conflict. It's a place of relationship building. It's a place of reconciliation. It's a place of healing. It's a place of joy. All of that in the scripture around the well. The well. The well is that place. That place where all this happens is at the well. See, we need to know that we have a well. We really need to know this. And we, especially in ministry, have to be absolutely certain that when Jesus says, the water I give him will, it will become in him a fountain of water. It will. It will. You have a well. You have a well. We've been given this well within us, an inner source of refreshing, an inner source of revelation, an inner source of healing and joy. It's inside us. We have a well. We have a well. You have a well that brings to you the water of life. You have a well that brings refreshing and anointing in your life. And you have it inside of you. Not outside, somewhere. It's inside. And we need to know what our well is. And we need to know what our well is not. Now you see, if you're looking for refreshing and revelation and healing and joy and you know, if you're looking for this inner strength, then you can look for that in your church for as long as you like and you're not going to find it. You can go to church on Sundays and say, right, I'm going to go, I'm going to give it everything. And you do, and you know, sometimes it works, and what did you say, mate? And sometimes it doesn't, and you are so right. You are so right. And if you're going to wake up on Monday morning, and your whole week now is going to be colored, and your whole week now is determined by what happened last Sunday, then you are going to live a pathetic yo-yo life. Because your well is not your church. If your source of joy comes from how many were there on a Sunday, if that's your source of joy, now, may it give you much joy, but it must not be the source of your joy. May there be much reason for rejoicing on Sunday, but it must not be the source of your joy. If it is the source of your joy, you are going to be miserable many weeks of the year. Your church is not your well. The people of that church is not your well. When you need refreshing, you don't need to run around trying to find somebody to have a cup of coffee with, or find somebody who'll pray with you or pray for you. Or you don't, they're not your well. Lovely though they may be, spiritual though they may be, they are not your well. Your church is not your well. People are never your well. Never. People may be greatly anointed. They may be greatly blessed. They may have a great connection with God. But friends, they cannot be our well. There is only one well, and that's the well that is within us. There is not a second well. There's only one. And He put it inside of you. Your success is not your well. It's not your well. You may have goals and visions and aspirations, and you may think, well, you know, hey, come on, let's get these things done. And if you succeed in doing them, then do you walk around a conference like this thinking, I've had a great year, but next year it might be a terrible year? It's not your well. Success, people, the church, they're not your well. Things, they're not your well. There's only one well. And that's the impartation of Christ in your life. The presence of God in your life is your only well. That presence of the Holy Spirit is the source of your refreshing. That's it. It's inside of you. It's the real source of your refreshing. And nothing else will do it. And if we don't learn that quickly, we're in trouble. So I see a lot of pastors, and they're afraid, and they're weary, and they feel stressed. And you know what they're trying to do? They have to run around trying to find a well somewhere. Is the well going to be this book that I'm going to read? Is the well going to be this video that I'm going to watch? Is the well going to be this conference that I attend? Did you come here looking for a well? It's not here. It's not here. Oh, man, you get a tremendous amount out of this. But the well isn't here. And that's why sometimes you go away and it fades. It's gone. And you think, well, it was good while it lasted, but where did it go? It wasn't a well. Or you were given a cup of water, but it's not the well. To receive water from someone else's well is fantastic, but it doesn't last. You have to find your own well. And I see so many pastors running, looking, is it this, is it that, is this new idea here, is this new thing here, is it that, is it this person, is it this teaching, is it this truth, is it this program, is it this way of doing it, is it like, should I do it like this, should I pray like this, should I fast for 40 days, what should I do? Listen, all of that's nice. But it's not the well. It's not the well. Many do not know that they have a well. And so they seek for joy in the wrong place. And they seek for refreshing in the wrong place. And they seek for revelation in the wrong place. They even seek for healing from the wounds of their ministry and the spiritual conflict they've been involved in. And they're seeking it in the wrong place. Wrong place altogether. See, they're searching for it. I know so many people who are looking for water, and they don't know that they have the well within them. But they're looking for it. It's a desperate thing to see people running here and there, grabbing stuff, reading stuff, going places, paying money, getting on airplanes, flying from one end of the world to the other. And then all of a sudden it's this place, and then next year it's that place, and then it's this place, and that's okay. But if you're looking for the well, you waste time, you waste effort, you waste resources, because it's a fool's errand. You have a well within you. Jesus said it's within you. And you and I have to know that we don't have to search for refreshing. You don't have to search for healing. You don't have to search for reconciliation with your God. You don't have to search for this revelation of what you should do tomorrow. It is not necessary to search for it. You don't have to pay a prophet. You don't have to pursue a prophet. You don't have to ask for a man of God to put his hands upon you to get it. You do not do that. The well is within you. If a prophet prophesies, good. If someone lays hands and imparts, good. But don't be chasers of these things. You have a well. And Jesus always intended that you would drink the running water from your own well. From your own well. That was his intention, that you would drink running water. He says to this woman, you will never thirst again. Why do I see so many thirsty pastors? Why do I see so many thirsty ministers, thirsty leaders? Oh, I'm just looking for that thing. I'm just searching for that thing. If only I could get that thing. It might change my church, my ministry. I could be, look, God, give me that thing. Where's it going to be? America, England, Africa, South America, Asia. Where's the thing? The thing? You don't need the thing. You got the well. I think it's a tragedy to realize that the ministry is full of thirsty people sitting on a well. It's pretty tragic. And we're waiting for somebody to give us a cup of water. We're dying of thirst here, sitting on a well. We need to know that we have a well. And God's plan, his magnificent plan, is to put a well within you and then instruct you and say, drink water from your own cistern. You might say, but it's not as good as that one over there. Let me tell you, it's the only reliable, continual source that you will ever, ever have. There is no other. In the book of Isaiah chapter 12, there's an interesting statement. The prophet says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you say, oh, goody, where are they? Where are they? Jesus told you where they are. The wells of salvation are within you. What does it mean? You see, we need to know how to do that. We need to know how to draw water from the wells of our salvation. Here we are, preachers of salvation, don't know how to draw water from that well. Here we are. Jesus said, he'll give you the water of life. Yay! Yeah. Good. Oh, yeah. I got that squared away. And where is that coming from? Where is that coming from? There is a well of salvation. That word, you will, with joy, you will draw water, means to pull it up. You pull it up. You've seen the pictures. Throw a bucket in, pull it up. Listen, I want to say, if you throw a bucket into a well and you pull it up, it's going to be hard work, right? Don't you think? Pull the bucket up, and there's probably going to be some camels around who want to drink your water. They can drink a lot of water. And sometimes, you know, if you don't draw enough water to feed the camels, there's not enough for you. Because the camels will insist on drinking your water. And once you think the camels are done, then you'll get the goats. And once the goats are done, then you get the sheep. You see, God will send all of these people to you to drink your water. There is no point getting upset about it because you're supposed to be a source of water. You're not pointing to say, get away from here. You're supposed to know how to draw out water. You're supposed to know that it's going to take hard work here to draw this water up. You need to know how to draw up refreshing into your life, how to draw up revelation into your life, how to draw up joy in your life, how to bring blessing out of your well. Monday's the day of relaxation, and perhaps you go check out a video, go to a movie. I don't know what you're allowed to do in your fellowship over here. I imagine it's probably allowable, isn't it? Yeah. Go for a coffee. All of that is enjoyable. But your real joy has to come from that well. If all you're doing is thinking, well, I'll go see a movie, that'll help me forget about it. I'll go see a movie and that'll help me cope with it. I just need to watch something funny before I kill somebody. Because I'm fit to kill somebody. Well, okay, but that's very natural and that's very human. And it doesn't solve the core problem. Only one thing will, and that's to draw up water from your well. Draw up joy from that well. Because when the movie's gone, does the laughter stop? You're just as miserable after the funny film as you were before. You're not drawing from the well. Not drawing from it. You say, why are you telling us this? Because I know how it works. Let me tell you something. Every single day that you don't draw water from your well is a wasted day in ministry. It's wasted. Because if you didn't draw water from the well that day, you had to refresh yourself some other way, and that's not acceptable and not lasting. If you didn't draw that water from the well that day, there was no revelation, so you used your own idea that day, and that's a wasted day. You worked on your own wisdom that day, that's a wasted day. You worked out of your own strength, and you got some fruit, well, now you're going to try and make it last. What a wasted day. There is nothing more frustrating than producing something out of your own natural effort and then killing yourself to try and keep it alive. Trying to get some program somewhere to plug into this sucker and breathe into it and pump on its heart. And you're saying, God, God, keep it alive. He says, why? It's not mine. It's yours. You brought it. You look after it. I don't want anything to do with it. Hey, but we just got to try and pump it and keep it alive. What's going wrong? We're not drawing from the well when that happens. The well, the only source of life. We need to pull up. What will you get when you throw that bucket and pull up from the well? Take the time and the effort to pull up from the well that God has placed within your life. Well, Isaac, his wife was found for him at a well. And when he was standing at the well, he looked up and he saw his wife coming to him. Everything about his wife seemed to happen around about a well. And Jacob, he found his wife at a well. And Moses, well, he found his wife at a well. If you want a relationship with God, you're only ever going to get it at the well. You're not going to get it anywhere else. It's at the well. The well builds a relationship. It's a place of relationship building. Hagar received a revelation of God at the well. See, while you're drawing up water, you start to see things you never saw before. While you're drawing up water, you start to hear things you never heard before. While you're drawing up water, you start to understand things you never understood before. While you're drawing up water, you start to know things you never knew before. When you start drawing up water, then you've got a plan, a really good plan that you never had before. A God-given plan, a God-given revelation. You got it at the well. It's at that well. Hagar's revelation at the well, the woman of Samaria, she received her revelation at the well. Life was never the same again for that woman because she went to a well that day. Found Jesus. Every day you go to the well, you'll find Jesus waiting for you at the well. If you want to know where he is, he's at the well. He's not off, well, you know, what I need is a week. I need to go away for a week. I need to go away for, I just need to get away from everybody. I need to take a big pile of videos and a big pile of CDs and some of them books. And if I could just go away for a week, get away from these mongrels, I'll be all right. They're driving me up the wall. I just need to go away for a week. And you can't get away from a week. So maybe you're going to go to the conference. Or maybe you're going to do something. Get it. Because I got to find it somewhere. I got to find it somewhere. He's at the well. You want to find him? He's at the well. He's at the well. He's not away for a week somewhere on a beach in a beach house. He's already at the well. It would be nice to go to the beach house, but he's at the well. He's at the well. And all he's doing is waiting for you to come to him. See, he'll let you run all over the place if you want to. Because he only ever has been in one place. And every time you found him, you only found him there. Think about this. You never found him anywhere else. You've never found him anywhere else except at the well. Oh, yeah, when you were in that meeting and you got blessed and all, you know what happened? He took you to the well and you found him at the well. He always was there. You never found Jesus at the conference. You took him with you. We do. Jesus sits at the well. And he's saying, look at those suckers running around. Whoa, look at that. Ooh, what? Wow. Look at that. He's going to get real tired soon. Might even drop dead with a heart attack the way he's gone. Boy, look at him work. He's working so hard. Look, he's sweating drops of blood. Well, well, well. What a dummy. When's he going to come and sit here at the well? It's not hide and seek. Do you hear God saying to you, you're getting warmer? Am I? You're getting warmer. Cold. Oh, sorry. Warm. Are you hearing that? Well, hey, that's not God. That's not God. He sits in one place all the time, and he sits at your well. He's waiting for you to come to one place. He doesn't hide. He doesn't move. He doesn't play hide and seek. He doesn't cover himself up. He's not playing games with you. He's waiting at the well. At the well, bitter waters were turned into sweet in the scripture. At the well. Some of your water's been bitter. You can turn it to sweet by coming back to your well. You want to turn your bitter experiences this year into sweet? You'll only do that at the well. Now, I know you can go around this year saying, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. Yes. All things work together for good. All things work together. All things. Been there? I have. What a dreadful place to be. You can't make the bitter sweet any other way than by coming to the well. See, you can try this stuff. You can try and claim that promise. Or you can just come and sit at the well and draw water. And the first few buckets doesn't turn bitter into sweet. But eventually, it will if you sit at that well and draw up water. And you'll find all the bitter's gone. And you can come out. It's safe now. Pastor's been to the well. Safe. Hello. Safe now. Grumpy's gone. He's been to the well. The well turns bitter to sweet. There's a place called Elim in the scripture. Have you heard about it? It was noted for its palm trees. We're on a winner here. Okay. was noted for its palm trees. And what is Elim? It's a well. It might not be a big fat hole in the ground, but it's still a well. It's still a spring in place of water. You see, it's a place of water. It's a well. You know, the only way you can make palm trees is if you've got a well. Some of you people are trying to build a church without palm trees. And you can't build a palm tree, but you've got a well.
What are you talking about?
I'm Welsh. I'm mystical in my origins. Well, that's the way we put it when nobody can understand what we're talking about. We say, we're mystical. Eh? Don't you wish you had palm trees in your church? Strong, solid people. Look at this. I mean, look at these elders here. What a phenomenal thing. Strong people standing up. Wonderful palm trees. Strong, mighty palm trees. People were attracted to Elim because it was a place of refreshing. They were attracted there, and the palm trees stood out in a desert place and waved their leaves and said, "We are prospering." How come? They found a well. You must not be the palm tree. You have to be the well. Too many pastors are really good palm trees. What a total waste. You don't need to be a palm tree. You need to produce some palm trees. And you can only do that if you're a source of refreshing. If you're a well. And if you learn to draw out water, you can produce palm trees. You can produce strong palm trees around about you. See, sometimes we say, "My God, what do you have to do to make leaders? I'm sick of this. I've been running leadership training courses for these dopeys for years. I never get the message. What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with you?" Well, maybe you don't do that, but you want to. You want to. Call himself an elder. Some elders should be shot. And that would be just doing it too quick. You know what your problem is? You've got no water in your well. Do you know why? You haven't been drawing water from your well.
I'm so sorry for you. You got water in your well. I've got no water in my well.
Because you haven't been drawing water from your well. There's only one reason you don't have water, and that's because you don't draw water. We must know how to draw water from our well. Many leaders are running on empty all the time. All the time. Run from Sunday to Sunday, running on empty. I heard of one guy, I'll tell you, I won't tell you what church he came from or anything else. It wasn't Elim. You guys wouldn't do this. But he used to put on a motivational video on a Sunday afternoon, you know, and play it, like, and play the Rocky theme before he came to church on Sunday night so he could get pumped. Dear God. Dear God. That's called running on empty. Man, you run out of fuel, you're getting somebody else to push the sucker now. You can't even push it yourself. I went to one place, and there's this young guy, and he locked himself in a room. He's about to preach at this thing that I was at. And I could hear him screaming two or three rooms away. And when he came out of the room, his voice was almost gone. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I've been praying." I said, "I thought you were preaching next." "I don't know if I can." There's something wrong. There's something wrong. Those guys in the Old Testament that had to do the screaming and all, they were on the other side. Do you realize that fire falls from heaven on water?
Ooh, wasn't that good?
Wasn't that good? He who can draw up water can have fire fall upon him. But if you can't draw up water, you don't get the fire, no matter how much you scream. What you looking for fire for? What you looking for fire for? What you looking for fire for? Get the water, the fire will come. Fire comes to the water. This isn't the natural world you're dealing with. Huh? It's not a natural world, it's a supernatural world. You get out the water and you soak that sucker in the water and God will burn it up. You want fire in your church? Start pumping water. Pump like mad. Pump night and day. And if you pump enough and soak it and fill it and fill the troughs around about it, the fire will come. I was at a wedding, and there was another guy with me at the wedding. He's an evangelist. He had to leave early, go preach somewhere. I met him in the gents. I was going to the gents, and he was already in there. Because we're not ladies. We don't go together, us guys. We're going our own. Guy says, I'm going to the toilet. I said, what are you telling me for? What do I care? I don't want to know about your bowel movements. Clear off. But ladies, they always go together. Shall we go to the toilet? Oh, what a good idea. Like I have a communal bladder work function. Or something. I don't know. It's genetic. I don't know. Anyway. I won't get onto that. I don't understand women. That's another sermon all on its own. I'm telling you, I'm getting there. They cry and black stuff comes out of their eyes. That's got to be demonic. It's got to be demonic. It's got to be. It's a sign. A sign. Man. Anyway. And anybody who thinks that they're saving you money by spending $100 or $50 or $1,000 is nuts. My wife comes home and says, I saved a fortune. I said, oh good, let's have a look at it. Show it to me. She said, I spent $500. I saved you $200. I said, let's have the $200. There's no $200, mate. It never was. You only spent, you spent 500. Where's the 200? I saved it. All right, so let's have a look at it. I'm on my own. Don't mention it. Let's come back to the point. Pastors are running on empty. They are. They're running on empty. When I went to the loo, there's this guy there, and he's crying. And I felt sorry for him. He said, he's having a breakdown or something. I said, this is a wedding. So what's wrong?
I'm going to go and preach tonight.
I said, oh, okay. Beauty, may I have a good love offering? He says,
no, you don't understand. I've been at this wedding all day and I just don't. I don't have the anointing. And I've been in here. Oh, God, I don't have the anointing. I shouldn't have come to this wedding. I don't have the anointing.
Duh. What are you doing with yourself? It's not out there. It's in here. Jesus went to a wedding. And at the wedding, they wanted wine. And his solution was water. Isn't that right? Hey, you're looking for the wine? Get the water. You get the water, he'll make it wine. You don't get the water, you got no wine. You can talk about the wine as long as you like. There's no water coming, no wine coming, till you start pulling water. And he said to those servants, you go down there, you start pulling water, man. You start pulling an awful lot of water. You start filling up these pots with water. You start filling gallons and gallons and gallons, or liters and liters and liters. That was just for our English. Liters and liters of water. And when they're full to the top and overflowing with water, then we'll do the wine thing. Some of us want the wine. We won't pull the water. You're not going to get the wine if you're not a puller of water. You're running on empty. And we can't run on empty. See, many preachers are trying to refresh themselves, drawing from all sorts of other things. They're trying to do it every way possible. But you know something, friend? I've got to say this. It's here. The well is here. Focus on the water. And you get the fire. Pull up the water. You get the wine. In the book of Genesis, chapter 26, there's this famous story that I love. I love it. I've preached on it. You have too. And it says, and Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged. I like that. You like that? I love it. When I write like that, people make corrections to my language. But I mean, the Bible's doing it. Isaac digged again. That's lovely. Not dug, he digged. He digged again. I'm going to dig in the garden today. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged. I love doing that, especially for school teachers. And they had digged in the days of his father. God talks like that's bad English. And he digged in the days of his father. For the Philistines had stopped them. Those mongrel Philistines, that's what they do. That's why they're Philistines. They stop the water. And do you know what happened when they stopped the water? Do you know what happened? There was a famine in the land. Why? Join these dots. This isn't hard. This is not difficult. Water, no famine. Green stuff, nice, good. Stop the well, no water. No water, bad. No green stuff, famine. No wonder he's a Philistine. The idiot couldn't join the dots between stopping a well and getting a famine. Don't be a Philistine. You stop your well, you brought your famine to your own doorstep. Ooh. 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 Famine doesn't drop from heaven. You bring it because you stopped up your well. Oh, but it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I didn't stop my well. A Philistine did it. And I know that Philistine because he's on the board of elders in my church. And he stopped my well. Well, digged it then. Digged the wells the Philistine stops. See, you know, you must care for your own well. Because every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Philistine will try and stop it. Oh, yeah. I can tell you something now. Everybody in your church, given the opportunity, will stop your well. Everyone. They say things like, oh, Pastor, can you, you go, Pastor, please, Pastor. Please. Oh, Pastor. Do you know, there are things that clog up your well. One of them is called a phone. I have discovered this, and I'm trying to get the research done, but I'm fairly certain, because I've never found it fair. Let me tell you this. When a phone rings, if you answer it, somebody will want to talk to you. Not a good idea when you're drawing water from the well. So what do you answer the stupid thing for?
Oh, I've got to answer the phone.
Why? It's a Philistine. Every time, it's a Philistine. Every single time. You'd be surprised who those Philistines are. And you can find them. As soon as you sit down, start to draw some water from your well. Brruh, 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 brruh. Hello. Oh, it's me. I'm a Philistine.
Duh.
Don't you know? Switch it off.
Ooh.
Switch it off. Switch it off. It's a Philistine. There are lots of Philistines. People who will come to you with problems. Haven't you noticed that when you say, oh, I'm going to go and spend some time with the Lord, that's when all the Philistines rush out from behind the bushes. Oh, Pastor!
Go away, you Philistine.
You say, I'm just going to spend the morning in prayer. How many times have you tried that? The Philistine hordes rise up on you. You have to deal with the Philistine.
Now, maybe it's not those people that are Philistines. Maybe some of them are. But certainly, the Philistine of Philistines is behind them.
And they want to clog up your well. Tell you. In verse 15 to 22 of Genesis chapter 26, what you find this guy does is he digs a well. So he goes back and he digs the wells that the Philistines had filled up. He digs it. Huh? Digged. You know what happens then? They come and fight him. There's our well. Get away from them. You know what he does? Walks away, goes to another place, digs another well. And then they come and they say, you know what he does? Walks away, goes and digs another well. You see, and he kept digging well till the Philistines gave up. And wherever he was, he dug a well. Everywhere. See, you have to fight for the well. You have to. And you mustn't stop digging wells. And if you can't dig one here, you dig one there. And if you can't dig one there, you dig one here. And you just keep on doing it. And you keep on resisting those Philistines. And you keep digging until you find where you can dig your well in peace. But don't stop digging, because that's what some of you have done. And now you are so busy, you've been empty for a long time. And the famine has come. And you haven't even joined those dots yourself. That the famine has come to you because you let the Philistine fill your well. And you stopped drawing at your well. And you brought this famine to your land. Not God. You did. And there's only one way to solve this problem. Go back and dig the well. The well in the Bible is frequently a place of strife and of conflict. What happened to Moses? When he came to a well, he found a wife, but had to have conflict at the well. See, we think the well is the place you go to the well and say, oh, well, it's all going to be so sweet. I'm going to sit at the well and talk to Jesus, and Jesus will talk to me, and we'll just have a lovely time at the well.
You've got to be joking. The Philistine will come. He will try to drive you away from your well. He will do it by circumstance. He will do it by the phone. He will do it by the thoughts that come into your mind. He will, all of a sudden, you will get a strong compulsion that this really, you really got to do it, you know. Because if you don't do it now, you'll forget about it. Remember that? If you don't do it now, you'll forget about it. So you go do it now, and you know what you forgot? You forgot the well. Who cares if you forget about it? Stay at the well.
Oh, but I gotta send that email. I just gotta make that phone call. I just gotta go down and visit them. Then I'll come back. I promise. I just got this. I just got this. Sit down. Stop it. You're being driven off your well. Every time you sit there, he will come to drive you away. He will come to distract you. He will come to lead you astray. Anything to get you off the well, because the well is the place of your strength. It's the true place of your strength. It's the source of everything in your life And if the devil can get you busy doing God's work, so busy doing God's really important work, helping hurting people, ministering the gospel, teaching the word, if he can give you those opportunities and keep you off the well, you will be defeated while doing the work of God. Oh, yeah. So busy working for God, you kill yourself and destroy your ministry, bring famine to your church because you didn't stay at the well. At the well. At the well. You're going to have to care for your well. You're going to have to possess it. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to learn to keep on digging it, even though Philistines come and throw rocks into it. You're just going to be someone who persistently digs a well. And you'll be in a well today, and tomorrow you'll have a circumstance, and you'll go back to the well and find it's not flowing like it was yesterday. Why? Because of what you went through today. And that means you've got to dig it again. You've got to dig it again.
And some people say, oh, I'm fed up. I'm going to dig a well. And then, you know, it, what is it after day? And then this is good. Whatever. It's all gone.
Dig it again. Dig it again. You don't have a choice here. You must dig your well. Isaac was a digger of wells. And the Bible says that in the land of famine, he prospered. And became very prosperous. Oh, God prospered that man. And he became very prosperous. Why? He was a digger of wells. Who becomes prosperous? He who digs the well. And if you'll keep on digging wells, you will prosper. Even in a time of famine. Because you're digging a well. See, in a time of famine, what do we do? What do? In a time of famine. You get a time of famine in your church? Let's come together. We're going to pray. What are you going to pray for? Revival. Revival. That mystical, magical something that none of us has seen, that we've heard about so much, that is the solution to all of our problems.
Send the rain. Send the rain. Let it rain on me. Let it rain on me.
Listen, when you got a well, you don't look for rain. He who is looking to the sky for rain is the one who is not digging his well. Don't look to the sky. Look to the well.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, that means you are your own source of spiritual refreshing. You don't need a shower. Well, some of you may. You don't need it to fall from heaven. You've got it in your well. What's wrong with, hey, listen, if it's going to rain, that's fine. But in a time of famine, I'm not standing around waiting for rain. I'm digging wells. I'm going to dig a well, not wait for rain. If it rains, hallelujah, I love the rain. Trouble is, some people are doing rain dances rather than well digging. And you go to some churches like, as sure as work, I went over to Toronto and they did, and the rain came. So we all come home and we do, just keep doing it, it'll rain one day. Well, it rained. It rained for them. I'm not against this, all right. But I'm saying, it is sad to see churches doing rain dances on Sunday when they should take out their shovels and dig their well. I know churches have been doing rain dances for years. You know, next week they'll probably start killing chickens and flicking blood everywhere. I don't know what they'll do next. God alone knows the strange things that some pastors and churches do thinking that they can bring revival. The answer to this city is not a revival. That would be an answer, but it's not the answer for this city. See, a revival comes and a revival goes. And so while you got it, it's great. But let me tell you, every revival finishes. So what's God's perpetual answer? Isn't the revival? It's the well. It's the well is the perpetual answer. You are that well for your city. You are that well for your own life. You are the well. In a time of famine, what do? Dig a well. In a time of crisis, what do? Dig a well. In a time of conflict, what do? Dig a well. In a time when you're under pressure, what do? Dig a well. In the time when you're stressed, what do? Dig a well. In the time when you're tired, what do? Dig a well. When you're blessed, what do? Dig a well, quick. When you're successful, what do? Dig a well. When you've just experienced failure, what do? A, dig a well. B, dig a well. Or C, all of the above. This is not hard since there's only one answer to every question. Pastors come to me and they say, you don't know what I'm going through. What's the answer? Dig a well. Oh, thanks. Ooh, that was good. I'm having trouble over here. What do? Dig a well. Ooh, that's good. You're so deep. No, I'm dumb. I just know the one answer. Dig a well. Dig a well. Dig a well. Dig a well. Why? That was Isaac just, well, dug a well. He dug a well. Can you dig a well? You can dig your well, you've got it all sorted out forever. You can't dig your well. You're in deep trouble. Real deep trouble. He prospered, became very prosperous. But he only ever knew how to do one thing. Only ever knew how to dig a well. That's all he ever did. Do you know when that guy, what was his name? The guy in the Old Testament, the cheating, thieving, stealing Jacob. You know him? And he ripped his brother off. And I won't go on a whole thing about, because it's all about wells, because that's where he changed the sheep and the speckled and spotted and all the rest of that. He said the well. You can change all sorts of things at a well. If you take them to the well, they'll change. It's a good idea, isn't it? If you want to change the church, take it to the well. If you want to change the people, take them to the well. If you want to multiply them, take them to the well. They multiply at the well. That's where they multiply, at the well. They give birth at the well. They conceive at the well. Something happens to them at the well, and they become fruitful at the well. This guy is a well man, see? Never mind. Anyway, he's going to meet his brother. His brother, I ripped him off. I'm in deep trouble here. Uh-oh, I might die. So what does he say? Where does he meet his brother? Go have a look. One guess. At a well. He says, I know what'll fix up my problem with my brother. I'll meet him at a well. I'll meet him at a well. Do you know something? You would be far better off rather than saying, well, brother, I thought it's about time we were a little bit transparent with each other. What do you want to do that for? We ruin your ministry and your church if you're that transparent. I don't want to be transparent. It's a very good reason why God didn't make me transparent. It would be awful to be up here and be transparent. I have those dreams, nightmares. Don't you? No, maybe you don't. I do. I don't want this.
rather than let's just put all the cards on the table. Shouldn't have any cards. Anyway, no. But wouldn't it be better to say, brother, come on, let's pray. Take him to the well. He who is at the well can't get mad with you. He is at the well, he will not succeed in attacking you. Take him to the well. Take him to the well. Hey? Anyway, okay. All right. Well, how are we going? This is only a 20-minute message. Okay. And I got to finish at what time? 1 o'clock. Oh, gee, well, I can start on my 20-minute message now. Okay. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, it says this. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Well, 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 well. Where did that come from? How do you become a well of life? How does your mouth become a well of life? Because Jesus said, I'll put inside of you a well of living water. And out of your mouth will flow this well of living water. Well, out of the well, the life flows. You are not only a well, but you are a source of water and intended to be a source of water for other people too, not just yourself. I said before, you are supposed to feed camels. Camels. Doesn't matter if they have one hump or two. Isn't that right? Remember that guy? And he was Abraham's servant, and he went to the well, and he said, oh, God. He said, I'm gonna ask the girls to give me a drink and draw for my camels also. Why did he do that? He didn't want a selfish kid to say, here, have a cup of water and walk away.
Your camels, you've got to be joking, mate. You feed them yourself.
He found a girl who said, I will not only draw water for you, sir, I will gladly draw water for all of your camels, because I'll tell you what I got. I got a source of water that's more than adequate for every thirsty soul, no matter how thirsty they may be. Come in from the desert, all you camels, one hump or two, we don't care. We can satisfy the thirst of you all. Isn't that what happened? You must be able to water camels.
You say, some people are so demanding.
Water them. Stop counseling them. Water them. I did say that. I know you don't think I meant that. I know you think I meant something else. So I'll say it again. Stop counseling them and water them. You've got to realize that most pastors are third-rate counselors. First-rate wells. When the devil starts to get you counseling for an hour at a time, he's got you beat. Because now you're doing what you're lousy at doing. No, you like it, because it makes you feel important. But that's not the point. Likes it, because it puts you in a position of influence and control. But that's all carnal. What you ought to do was water that camel. Is there a place for counseling? Yes, but you probably shouldn't be doing it. Because if you're doing it, you're not a well of life. Get somebody else to counsel them. You water them. You know what's the problem? Most churches, pastors have moved away from their one essential task, to bring God to people. And we're doing everything else. We're managing, we're counseling, we're budgeting, we're planning, we're projecting, we're dealing with the, you know, logistics instead of being a well of life. Instead of being a water of life flowing out of us. And we wonder why people come to us and we got counseling tips or a motivational message on Sunday morning. 5 things you can do to be a success. Dear God, help us. I can go to Amway for that. Dear God. Draw from that well. And the only thing you've got to do on Sunday is give water. And if you don't have any to give, then you don't have water to give, I want to say,
Shame on you. Don't you tell me you don't know where to go to get it. Don't you tell me a Philistine filled my well. Because I'm telling you, you must learn to dig a well. And you must learn to be a source of the water of life to everyone all around about you. Camels, goats, sheep, it doesn't matter. You must learn to dig your well in every place and circumstance of life. You must learn to dig your well every day of your life. And there are some things that evidently well producing, well digging things for you. Aren't they? For some of you, it was a song. You sang that song, and here it comes. Here comes the water. Yeah. It never came down. It came up. Never came down. It came up. See? It came up. Came up. See, when you go back to Noah and the flood that covered the earth, it didn't all fall from heaven, you know. Most of it came up out the ground. You can't put enough in the heaven to flood the earth. Can't be done. Has to come up. You want to flood the earth? Yeah, pray for rain, but get it from up there. Now, you have to bring it up. You have to be able to bring it up. And sometimes it's that song. And you know what? Once you've got a well song, it's always a well song. Now, it gets old, and other people may laugh at you, but you'll sing, you know, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior. That's a well song for me. I don't care if it's not. I don't care. I got a well song. Now, some of those new songs are well songs for me, too. I love them. They're well songs. Some of them don't bring water to me. Huh? Some of them bring water to the young people, and that's fantastic. But, you know, in 10 years' time, we'll be laughing at them with their well songs. Somebody will be, because there'll be old songs that were well songs. Singing brings water from the well. So why Paul says to the Ephesians, let your hearts, he says, fill your hearts with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing in your heart. If your heart doesn't sing, you can't draw water.
No, but I'm not a very good singer.
Your heart is an excellent singer. Your heart sings better than Darlene. Trouble is, it gets mangled coming out the mouth, but the heart sings fantastic. And it's only the heart that has to sing. Huh? Come on. What brings the water? Singing brings the water. Worship brings the water. Haven't you? You're just a song or just something, and all of a sudden it just happens. You feel it. You feel, oi, oh, oi, oh, that's good. Oi, and joy comes. Oi, put a smile on your face. See? Oh, that's good. What was that? Well, he just tapped in. Oh, well, worship does that. Worship does that. Singing does that. Praise does that. Thanks does that. You know, I said to God, Lord, I want to thank you for you are good. And he says, and? I said, well, you're good. Yeah, big deal, Alan. You think that's called thanks and praise? Listen, son, that's rubbish. What do you mean it's rubbish? Well, son, listen, just saying I'm good is, yeah. Oh, you're good, yeah. Does that do any good to you? You're good. It doesn't do any good to you. Good for what? So God said, Alan, if I am good, then spend a bit of time and tell me why. Otherwise, we're just talking cliches here, and any idiot can prattle those off without any experience in their life whatsoever. God is good. Hallelujah.
God is good. God is good. Amen. The devil's bad. Amen. Yeah. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah.
Big deal. Lord, you are good because your mercy lasts forever. Lord, you are good because you forgave me. Lord, you're good because every day when I eat, it comes from you. Every day of my life, my strength comes from you. You are good. You gave me this wonderful wife and these fantastic kids and marvelous grandchildren. You are good. You are good. You called me into the ministry. Whoa, you are so good. Now he starts saying, "That's yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am." You know what happens then? Ooh, hey, you start pumping water. You are good. You are good. Lord, you are great. And you are great. Your power is greater than the power of... Oh, Father, you are so great. You fill heaven and earth. You are so great. You are a healing God. You are a great and powerful, mighty God. You are great. Yeah, the water flows. It flows. You can pump water in a lot of different ways. You can pump water in a lot of different places. You can pump your water at home. You can pump your water at work. You can pump going to work. You can pump coming home. You can pump it mowing the lawn. You can pump it doing your washing. You can pump it fixing your car. You can pump it when you're in the kitchen. You can pump it when you're in the garage. You can pump it anywhere. Matter of fact, you can pump it now. Right now. You can pump it now. Isn't that good? No one can stop you from doing this. If you don't want them to, you can just pump water. Hey, you can say, "Go ahead, take your best shot. I'm pumping water. This is a boring meeting. Who cares? I'm pumping water. Hey, I'm sick of those suckers who sit in the back and say, "Want to know that song again? When is he going to preach better than that?" Pump water. Pump water. Pump water. Pump water. Pump water. Drink from your own cistern. Drink from your own cistern. And then you can learn to feed the camels and the goats and the sheep. And you can pump enough water that palm trees will start to spring up all around about you. And you can pump water, turn bitter things into sweet. You can pump water and the wine will begin to flow. You can pump water and the fire will begin to fall. You can pump water in a time of famine when everybody is dying of thirst. But you pump water like a fountain. Like a fountain. Now, I want to share something else with you. And I always try and preach this message so I don't have to mention this. So I'm going to do it now. Genesis chapter 24, verse 11. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. He made them kneel down at the well. And he waited at the well. He brought them camels. He set them down. And he waited. And he waited. And he waited. And he waited. And 13 says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher,' be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac." Before he had done speaking, do you get that? He's at a well, and he's waiting at the well. He's gathered his camels, and he has one desire only. He wants to see her. He wants to find her.
And he sits at the well, waiting, crying. God, I want to see her. God, I want to find her. And before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah came out. And he saw the beloved, because he waited at the well. You need to see the beloved again. You who feel like you're going to quit the ministry because you haven't seen the beloved for such a long time. You who are hurt and bruised, and you think it's the people that did it to you in the ministry, and you come and you say, oh God, I hope this conference is real good because I'm at the end of my rope. Let go of that rope. See the beloved. You haven't seen the beloved. You haven't sat at the well. When you go to the well, that's when you get a revelation of the beloved. And when you've seen the beloved, everything makes sense. Everything is worthwhile because you saw the beloved at the well. At the well. If you get there and sit there, cry out, I must meet the beloved. Then behold, the beloved will be manifest to you. And you can walk in that world, not as a teacher of theology, not as a leader of a church, not as an organizer of people, not as a raiser of money and a builder of buildings, not as a fancy preacher, but you can walk in that world as one of those very rare people who know from personal experience what the beloved is really like. You know what that world out there needs? It's a desert. And it needs people coming from the well with water, but also with their eyes filled with a view of the beloved. That's what we need. Oh yeah, that's really what we need. We need to have this confidence that when we go to the well, the beloved will come to us. You know that? When you go to the well, you will see the beloved. Jesus said, the water that I give them becomes a perpetual spring within them. A perpetual spring within them, watering them forever. Watering them forever. Doesn't end. That's our secret. That's our key. That's our solution. That's the answer. That's it. If we can master this, we can do many other things, but if we have not mastered this, it's a waste of time. When we master this, and it's a pursuit of a lifetime, it's a commitment, and it's long lasting. And I will tell you now, I have wasted thousands of days, and I have worked hard and long in my own strength. And I have frustrated God and worn myself ragged because I did not go to the well. One thing does the Lord desire of you. Just one thing does the Lord desire of you. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And where do you find him to walk with him? At the well. One thing he asked you to do. Just one thing. One thing's the solution. One thing he asks us to do. And we do forget. How dumb can we be